first sin that was ever committed was committed by, I'm sorry, the first sin on earth that was committed by Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know the story. How that she took the forbidden fruit, took the fruit to Adam, he joined her in the sin, and man had fallen. The whole human race had fallen. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible says, whereas by one man came death, that's the first Adam. By one man came life eternal, that's the second Adam. Now, this thing that caused the entire human race to fall, this first sin ever committed on the face of the earth, where did it start? The first word said, when the woman saw. When the woman saw that the fruit was good for food. When the woman saw the first step toward the first sin ever committed on the face of the earth. When the woman saw. Didn't say when the woman smelled. Didn't say when the woman heard. Didn't say when the woman felt. It said when the woman saw. What was the first step in her downfall? Looking. In Genesis chapter 9, we have a tragic story. We have a story of Ham committing homosexual acts with his father, Noah. Now, here's the first great sin after the flood. Ham got his father, Noah, and committed an awful homosexual act with Noah. Where did it start? In verse 22 of Genesis 9, it says, Ham saw. That's the first statement made. Ham saw. When Eve sinned, when the woman saw. When Ham committed his awful sin and pulled with him an entire race of people into servitude, Ham saw the nakedness of his father. Let me stop and just parenthesize here a minute. When you read Dr. Spock's book or any other nut psychologist, child psychologist, that it's healthy for children to see the nakedness of their father, don't you believe the idiot? When Ham saw, when you say that, when somebody says mothers and daughters ought to take baths together, don't you believe it? That's tomfoolery. That's not Bible. Why? I don't know why. Because a father is too sacred for his children to see him run around without any clothes on. The mother and father represent God in the home to the child. By the way, let me say this. I wouldn't advise you to let the children bathe together either. If you just want to just give you a little parenthesis inside the parenthesis. Now, that's Heilsology there. But it's Bible that you shouldn't see your father unclothed. That's Bible. But where did it all start? When the woman saw, man fell from his lofty position. Ham saw the nakedness of his father. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we have the story of David committing his awful sin. You recall the story of David, Bathsheba and Uriah. Where did it start? What were the first words about the story? Here they are. David saw. David saw. Where did man start his trek downward? When the woman saw. Where did Ham start his sin of homosexuality with his father Noah? Ham saw. Where did David begin his fall? David saw a woman washing herself. And let me just emphasize here again to say that men looking at the nude pictures of bodies of women is out of hell, it's from hell, it's of hell, and it's going to send multitudes to hell. Where'd the trouble start? David saw. Where'd the trouble start? Ham saw. Where'd the trouble start? The woman saw. Saw, that's it. She saw. In the Valley of Achor tonight, the Valley of Achor, there are several bodies that have turned to dust many, many centuries ago. The body of Achan, the body of his wife, the bodies of their children, buried in the Valley of Achor. How did they die? They were stoned to death. Who stoned them to death? God's people did. Why? Because Achan stole a garment and some money out of Jericho that he shouldn't have stolen. And because he stole it, hid it in his tent, and it was found out, he, his wife, and all of his children were stoned to death. Where did that story start? Joshua 7:21, Achan tells how it started. Two words. I saw. I saw. Isn't that interesting? It seems like all the great sinners in the Bible first saw. Eve saw and sinned. Ham saw and sinned. David saw and sinned. Achan saw and sinned. Matthew 5:28, our Lord, realizing this awful temptation, said, Whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his own heart. He said in Proverbs 23:31, God said, Look not upon the wine when it is red. Strange thing. He didn't say, don't drink. He said, don't look at it. Why? Because the first thing you do, you look at it. Don't look at it. Nobody goes to some bawdy house and commits heathen sin with some prostitute unless he's looked at something that has stirred his passions to unholy lust. Nobody sins until they see. Our Lord realized this danger. But in Mark 9:47, he said, If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better to enter into life maimed or with one eye, and having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. The eye. Satan has made full use of this weapon. He always has. His first temptation to man on the face of the earth was to the eye. His temptation to David was to his eye. His temptation to Ham was to his eye. His temptation to Achan was to his eye. And I could take my Bible, you go home and get the Cruden's Concordance and look at the word see or saw or look, and you will find that in practically every case when God's people have gone into deep sin, it starts by the eye. I saw. He saw. She saw. The woman saw. Ham saw. Satan has made good use of this weapon throughout the years. In our own generation, he's used it shrewdly, carefully. He started off years ago with magazines, putting sexy pictures in magazines. Life magazine led, I think, in the beginning of this kind of thing many years ago. Other magazines proceeded to follow. And then not only did we have vulgar kind of magazines with bathing beauties and pin-up girls in the magazine, But all of us were shocked to almost disbelief to know what was, to find out what was being sold under the counter. And the dirty little magazines like Sexology magazine, a filthy little satanic edited magazine that hides behind culture and refinement that's nothing more than barbarism in print, began to be sold between the covers of other magazines. They were not put on the magazine racks, but under the counter. And you'd go in on the sly. You'd ask for a certain kind of a filthy magazine. And pornographic literature came from under the counter and was placed between the folder of so-called good magazines and sold under the counter. What folks don't realize is this. The same crowd that started and edits and writes for Sexology magazine is the same crowd that tonight is promoting sex education in our public schools. I get my book on what's behind the sex education program in our public school, and you'll find that Sexology magazine, I'm talking about Theodore Rubin. What's that woman that edits that thing? Ahead of Seekers? Calderon. I'm talking about Calderon. I'm talking about Ellis, who spoke over here at Martin High School, who said he said if he were on an island with his own sister, he'd have sex with his own sister rather than go without sex. He spoke right in our city. Paganism, heathenism, vulgar, satanic, inspired barbarism. Now, where's it gone? You don't have to get Sexology magazine anymore, but under the counter. It's no longer between the covers of Life magazine or between the covers of Saturday Evening Post type. It's the type now that's out in the open. I don't know whether you know what's going on or not, but I want to say a few words tonight about this. Those of us who hang around airports know that it's almost impossible to buy a newspaper without seeing the nude bodies of females on the covers. I don't mean inside. I don't mean centerfold like the dirty Playboy magazines had for years. I mean nudes on the outside, on the cover. What is it? Satan's method. So where when our country falls and our young people go to hell and our country perishes, the destruction of our country start off by we saw. We saw. Did you know that there are magazines now for sale in drugstores where you trade and in grocery stores where you trade that have female nudes, I mean front poses of female nudes for sale? I think every one of us that buys a thing in any of those places ought to go to the manager while we're there and protest it and complain. A lady came to me the other day. She said a drugstore out here on Columbia Avenue that plays rock music and has the kind of literature in drugstore, I can't even allow my boy to go in there, my little boy to go in there. How sad. How sad. By the way, in case you're here tonight and you run a store that sells that kind of garbage, God's going to judge you for spreading that kind of filth and rot. They saw. Did you know that isn't all? I was in Louisville, Kentucky the other day buying a newspaper. And I saw a magazine right beside the newspaper had a naked man on the front of it. I mean front picture. I mean not a stitch of clothing on his body. And it said male nude pictures on the inside. And I was getting a newspaper and I said to the lady that was checking me out, I said, in God's dear name, why doesn't somebody burn that kind of garbage? And a fellow beside me said, "That isn't all." He said, "I know what's on the inside of it." And he had a little decency, too. He said, "They have nude males and female pictures on the inside posing with each other." Let me tell you something tonight. You young boys, you fill your mind with that kind of septic tank sewage, and you'll one of these days be a slave to evil and wicked passions, and you'll have a fire started you can't put out. It'll wreck your life. And if tonight you've been reading or watching such film or looking at such pictures, you get out of your seat and get out here and get on your knees and get right with God before God judges you for such rotten filth. You boys that get these pornographic pictures and look at them, God pity your wicked, sensual, filthy, vile soul and body. God have mercy on that kind of filth and garbage. They saw. I'm not to the subject yet. I'll be to it about 9:15. And so we start off with the magazines to destroy our country by the eye. In 1930s, movies came. Talk movies came. I can still recall when word spread all across our town, our section town. We were out in the poor place. They had to pipe in light where I came from, and we didn't have much. But word spread around town said they're going to show. They got a screen, and on that screen you can see folks walking and talking. You can't hear them. And they called them the silent movies. And I can still recall going to the little shopping center in Lisbon, out south Dallas, and in a vacant lot, they demonstrated one of those movies. And I sat there as a little boy, about 6 years old, and I said, "My, my, my, look at there. Pictures of people moving." And, of course, when they moved their lips, they had down at the bottom, some of you young folks don't know this, down at the bottom they had what they said. They were moving their lips. And of course, you know how they were. You know, they weren't exactly right, you know. And you turned and said... And America was absolutely captured by something else that the devil could use for us to see that would ruin us. Now, the Exorcist. And if there's somebody, and don't you laugh while I'm talking about this for one second, you ought to be crying. In case there's somebody in this room that's been to see that filthy, rotten, Antichrist picture, or read the book, God pity your soul. You're what's ruining this nation. You're the trouble. If I don't like it, then lump it. You're the trouble. You're the cause. I'd hate to think that I was so bound by passion, I had to go see something vulgar and filthy to enjoy life as I passed. Listen, there are too many. Why don't you try looking at a sunset sometime instead of a naked woman? Won't you just sometime look at a rose for a while, or a tulip, or a gladiola, or a meadow, or a mountain? Instead of filling your mind and making a septic tank and a cesspool out of a mind that God intended for you to keep pure and decent and honorable. Animal, beast, nowadays, did you know they have, and I'm sure some of you fellows have traveled and seen them. Did you know that they have in motel rooms across this country now, movies, that you put so much money in a machine and they'll show you in your motel room movies with the actual sex acts performed. I saw. Ham saw. Eve saw. Achan saw. David saw. And America's going to hell tonight because she saw. Eyes are nothing more but doors with which lust, sensuality has entered. And nowadays everything that was once held sacred and decent in our country is drugged through the gutter just like filth. Deep throat. Do you folks know what deep throat really is all about? I wouldn't even tell you. It's about such an unnatural kind of sex behavior. I wouldn't even tell you. Being shown in our cities across America. And little sissy preachers who wear blouses instead of shirts say, well, it's a part of life and we must show life exactly as it is. Won't you get you a Bible? I've got more respect for the preacher, though, than some of you folks that come here on Sunday night to hear a man of God preach and trot back and spend your whole life and rear your children in some liberal church that has that kind of preacher in the pulpit. You Sunday night tourists, put your feet under the table of a liberal preacher and a compromiser, and you want to come out and hear a prophet speak every once in a while, and I congratulate you because you come to a decent church. Now come all the time! Get your family in a church. But you, one lady said, but Brother House, it's a rugged out here. Well, you get calloused after a while. So the movies have come. By the way, in our generation, because of the competition television has given, the movies have gotten as rotten as hell. I mean that literally, as rotten as hell. Why? To try to compete, get you out of your living room to come to the movie house. Now, you say, what should a Christian do? He should never walk inside or drive inside a movie house. Now, what if he does? He ought to get right with God the next Sunday night. You say, well, I did. Okay, then here's an altar. Use it. Hollywood, listen, we've known for years Hollywood is a center of communism. I mean, from old Cecil B. all the way down. It's been nothing more than a center of one of the nerve centers of America to infiltrate every area of our lives with socialism and communism. That isn't all. I saw. The devil then came, put women nude in public, the shorts fad, the mixed bathing. By the way, the average beach is nothing more than a flesh pot. Strapless clothing, burlesque at halftime at ball games, and then on the streets. Now, I dare any red-blooded American man or boy, to go to a public school one day without committing adultery in his own heart. Well, you say, I didn't. Go and go to the doctor. By the way, it's Some of you Hammond Baptists, I want you teachers to check on this, and I should do it. It's a faculty meeting, but I happen to think about it right now, so I'll do it now. It's just as wrong for a student to wear a long dress and not know how to sit as it is to wear a short dress. And you teachers in the schools, you be sure these girls cover up their thighs and their knees when they sit down. But some resisted. Some resisted the movies. Some resisted the dirty magazines. Some wore decent clothes. And then in the 1950s, a new invention began coming into our homes. Slowly but surely, it has gotten worse until it's about to wreck this country. And the thing that is ruining America tonight is television. Television. The movie is coming to our living rooms. By the way, it's just as wrong to watch a movie in the den as it is to watch it in a movie house. It's just as wrong to sit in the living room, watch some movie out of Hollywood, as it is to go down here to the Paramount Theater, the Calumet Theater, or some drive-in theater. Revelation chapter 11, read a while ago, tells about television. Tells about the two witnesses coming in the end time. It tells about the fact that these two witnesses will preach, and they'll be killed, and their bodies will lie on the streets in Jerusalem for 3.5 days. And all the nations of the world will see their bodies lying on the streets at Jerusalem. That couldn't have happened 50 years ago. That couldn't have happened 25 years ago because television was just coming in. But if tonight two preachers were to be killed on the streets of Jerusalem and their bodies were to lie there 3.5 days, everybody in this house would see it on the news tomorrow morning or tomorrow night. The Bible predicted television because that's the only way in the world that all the nations could have seen those two bodies. Now then, when television first started ruining our society, it started with the late night shows. Johnny Carson ought to be in prison. Started with the late night shows. You say, well, I watched Johnny Carson. We're going to give you a chance to kneel here at the altar in a few minutes. You say, there's nothing else to watch. Read your Bible! Good night. Are you a Christian or a heathen? So they started late at night. I was at home one Sunday night. I think it was Sunday night. Anyway, I got a call. Said, preacher, turn on a certain channel. I couldn't believe what I saw. I saw two females interviewed on television as being respectable people who make their living committing sex acts with males. By the way, a person that can't control his physical passions is not a man. He's just a male. Men have wills to control. But anyway, I saw these females interviewed who make their living posing in sex acts in front of photographers so they can take pictures for magazines and movies for the little peep shows. And these lustful prostitutes were interviewed on late night television as being respectable citizens. And by the way, there are a lot of you who have children who watch that kind of garbage late at night and you don't know what's going on. And a lot of you do it too. If I had to sit up and watch a bunch of trash and filth, I would shut my eyes while I shave the next morning. I wouldn't want to look at a coward and a lustful, licentious, sensual beast when I shave in the morning. Somebody told me that they interviewed the star, the female star of Deep Throat on television. Prostitutes are interviewed regularly late night television. Now then, here's what's happened in the last year or two. Television has brought sex to prime time. And that's why I'm preaching this sermon tonight, or having this talk tonight. As your pastor, I won't look you right square in the eyeball, and I won't let you know that as God's people, we may have to turn our television sets off at 7 and 8 o'clock at night from now on. Maud. The program Maud had an abortion on television. That uncertain summer had a homosexual relationship in his program. Several programs are built around, I mean prime time, around kids unmarried living together. There have been 10 rapes on television this year. Prime time. Stories of impotent men. I don't watch the garbage, but I'll tell you what I've done. I have read the reviews in the magazines and the newspapers. And every day of my life, I read the reviews. I read the newspaper. I read the reviews of the movies that are going to be shown that night and the programs that are going to be shown that night. Now, the time has come, ladies and gentlemen, when we ought to have enough conviction to turn that knob or push that button and be Christians while we're in the living room or the den or the bedroom. Not to mention the lecture on menstruation on the Waltons program. Not to mention Bob and Carol, Ted and Alice, and the odd couple and the secret storm that others. Now I'll tell you something, folks. If you don't control that little box that sits in your living room or your den, your kids are going to go to hell over it. You can't control it, chop it to pieces. Now, what should you do? Number one, watch no movies. None. None. What did you say now, Brother Hiles? There's some good ones. First place, I don't believe that, but if there were a good one, as you've heard many preachers say, if I dropped a quarter in a spittoon, I'd let the spittoon have it. The other day, I dropped a comb in the restroom, in a little receptacle there, in the restroom. And I said, comb, you have combed what hair I've got. For the last time. I ain't coming after you. Did you know that it's been 30 years since I've seen a movie and I'm getting along pretty well? Did you know, as far as I know, Becky, David, Linda, and Cindy have never been on the inside of a movie house. And other than being a little retarded, they're all pretty normal. And did you know, if you would just say tonight, okay, starting tonight, February 17, 1974, there will be no more movies shown on the television set or sets in my house. Now, young people, you listen to me, and you listen to me well. Don't you hide behind that garbage. Well, Brother Hiles and I just don't agree on everything. Get out behind that stuff. You know what I'm talking about, and you know it's as mean as the devil. Well, the house, and I just don't see eye to eye. Well, then see eye to eye with him. Get a little tired of young people saying, well, there are just a few things that I don't agree with the preacher on. Well, then agree. Hollywood's as rotten as the devil. Nothing good about Hollywood. Nothing. Nothing. From the foundation to the last shingle on the top, it's as rotten as the devil. Just say no movies. No movies. You say, you're trying to keep me from having fun. No, I'm trying to give you fun. It won't ruin your life. Amen. Number two, I'm going to get off the kids for a minute now. I'm going to get on you ladies. You afternoon tea sippers. Now you listen to me. There's not a thing on television as rotten as those afternoon cereals. I mean Secret Storm and Private Tempest and all the other things. Used to be John's other wife, now it's John's other mistresses. John's prostitutes. I decided to do a little research for this sermon. So I just sat down and watched them all one afternoon recently. And don't you tell me they're not as rotten as the devil. I just started off with The Edge of Night. And brother, from the edge of night to the dawn of morning, nothing was good. Nothing. The Doctors. General Hospital. Every stinking one of them was sorry. And to think that a Christian has to stoop so low, has to have his fun getting his kicks out of that kind of garbage is nothing more than backsliding heathenism. I mean, there, set your Bible over on the table. I started to say the coffee table. Make that the orange juice table. And there are some good books in your library. And the Sword of the Lord. And other good magazines and periodicals. And if you don't have any, see me, I'll help you get some. You wonder why you don't rear decent children. If you'd just take the time you spend watching those dirty cereals in the afternoons, if you'd just take that time and pray for your kids, you'd be surprised what would happen. First thing I want to say is no movies. Second thing I want to say is no cereals. Number three, no liquor advertisements. Did you know Proverbs 23:31 says, look not upon the wine when it is red? Did you know it's a sin to watch a liquor commercial? Sin. I mean sin like lying. I mean sin like stealing. I mean sin like cheating. I mean sin like cursing. It's a sin, the Bible said. Don't look at it. You listen. You wouldn't have thought 20 years ago of bringing a fellow like Johnny Carson into your house with a bottle of liquor and saying, Johnny, come on in here in my living room. I want you to teach my boys and girls what's good about liquor. Now listen to me. You wouldn't have thought about it. But that's what you're doing. Well, you say, what do? You do exactly what the kids have done at our house all these years. Back when the cigarette commercials were on, when the first little sign of a cigarette commercial, you break your neck to run to the television set, you turn it off, and you time 60 seconds. You turn it back on if you're watching something worth watching. Now, moms and dads, you listen to me. You're not going to let those liquor ads and those ads and commercials about filth, you're not going to let them come in your house and let these stars and talented people and beautiful personalities and charismatic kind of people tell your children the value of liquor and rear a bunch of kids that are going to be right when they grow up. You're not going to do it. No movies, no cereals, no liquor commercials. Nothing suggested. Nothing suggested. Nothing. Nothing. That means bye-bye Dick Cavett. That means bye-bye Johnny Carson. That means, trying to think of some others. Bye-bye Merv. Who? How do you know so many of those? Stephen Frost. Bye-bye Stevie. Now, I know what I'm talking about now. These talk shows are really, really reaching America with filth. I heard that somebody like, I think it was, I was out east and Governor Maddox was going to be on one of them. Saw it in the paper. So I turned it on. And some female hussy was saying, marriage is out of date. I just get one till I get tired of him and get another one. I just get him in bed and then forget him. You watch that kind of stuff, don't you? Huh? Yeah, some of you do. I'm talking about deacons. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about staff members. I'm talking about school teachers. I'm talking about Wednesday night people. You go home, get down before that little box and say, "Old box, buddy, from here on in, I won't tell you what you're going to do. You're going to obey me here on in. You're not going to show me any movies. You're not going to ruin my kids. You're not going to show me any dirty programs. You're not going to show me any sexy cereals. You're not going to show me any more liquor ads. Buddy, from now on, I want you to know I am taking you over. And if he talks back to you, kill him. Stomp him. Squash him. I want to say this, and I'll be through in a minute. I think 1 hour a day is enough for any kid to watch it anyhow. Now, if some program comes on like the inauguration of the president, or some news special, or some ball game the kid wants to watch, or the funeral service of some great person, or royal wedding in Westminster Abbey, and that's different. But just the regular old routine programs, an hour, you realize that the average kid, how many hours your kids sleep a night? Ms. Colson, how many hours does Jeffrey sleep a night? Eight. Smaller kids sleep a little more than that. Who has a child that's under six? How many hours your boy sleep a night? 10. Arthur's awake 14 hours. He watches television 2 hours, then 1/7 of his life is wrapped up watching a little box. If I were you, and I had little kids, I'd get the television. What do you call it? Telelog or or tele guide, TV guide, I'd get it down. I'd go through it. And I'd outline what my children could watch. Now here's what happens. That television's become a babysitter for you. Look, listen, now, look. Why don't you do this? If you want to go out some night, why don't you have Madeline Murray O'Hare come babysit for 30 minutes? Then why don't you have somebody who's been married 5 times and doesn't believe in marriage now come babysit for 30 minutes? Then why don't you have a gangster come babysit for 30 minutes? And then why don't you, about every 10 minutes, have some come in and talk to your kids about the advantages of liquor? See, what you do, you prop those kids in front of that television set and use that television set as a babysitter. Just keep your kids out of your hair while you do your work. And they're sitting there watching the rottenest thing they could watch in the world without any governing, without any rules, without any stopping, without anything. And you wonder why. You wonder why they give you trouble. Look, did you know most of the folk kids, the principals tell me this, and I agree. In fact, I tell them this too. You know most of the real troublemakers in our schools run by families? Did you know that that when one child in a family causes or is a problem, did you know that usually the other children are too? Makes you sort of wonder, doesn't it? Now, folks, I just want to chat with you tonight about what's trying to ruin your family. If I saw a rattlesnake crawling up to bite one of your kids, and I didn't try to kill a rattlesnake or warn you to kill it, I wouldn't be your friend, would I? Amen. Now, what's trying to kill your kids tonight in your living room is worse than all the rattlesnakes in Texas put together. Right. Satan has got it to where... By the way, when your kids don't turn out right, the story can be Esau. Esau. I saw... Ham saw. Eve saw. You know why I gather you're males? It's sometimes hard to tell the difference. But you know why some of you long-haired males sit here tonight with long, shaggy hair like the heathen of the world? Saw it on television first. That's where it started. Started these riots on television. The cameras shined, the ABC and NBC and CBS shined the cameras on a bunch of long-haired hippies, and you've copied them, and you look exactly like the communists did, or do. You know why? You saw. Murder after murder is committed every year by teenagers who learned how to do it on television. Sex indecency is committed every day by millions of teenagers who learn how to do it watching television. You don't have to agree with me. But if you can't see the logic enough to agree with what I preached tonight, brother, you are a long ways gone. You know, the reason I feel so good about preaching this is everybody in this house knows it's the truth. Amen. To quote a fella I voted for one time, in your heart, you know I'm right. And his name wasn't Silver T either. Now, you know it's right. There's not a lady in this house, not a lady in this house tonight, who watches those little soap operas in the afternoon, but doesn't know in your heart they're wrong. You know it. There's not a one of you sets up and watches a movie who doesn't know. You've heard enough preaching. You know enough about right and wrong. You know it's wrong. You know it is. There's not a person in this house tonight that is against liquor who would dare say it's right to allow some winsome personality to stand in your house and try to talk your kid into drinking beer. Sergeant, they're coming after me. Now you know it. You know. Listen, get this tape, play it all over again, and everything I've said, you know it's right. Now the only question is, are you going to do what you know is the right thing to do? Well, you say, well, how? My kids would revolt. If they're tied with rope and gagged in the mouth, they can't talk back to you. We don't have a kid problem tonight. We got an old man, old woman problem. We got more kids in this house right now, under 20, want to go soul winning than we do over 20. We got a mom and dad problem. Now what you going to do about it? You could preach this sermon tonight. In fact, you could preach it better than I, because you've been watching this stuff. I've just been reading the reviews. You know, you could stood up here and you can listen. 95% of you folks can tell me things that I don't even know about going on television. I'm talking about, what's this guy, this colored fellow? Yeah, Flip Wilson. Why don't you just decide to Flip Wilson? I've read some of the reviews. I've read some of the reviews. I've also read some of the quotes of Mr. Wilson. You say, you're bigoted. Yes, sir, I'm bigoted against rot and trash and garbage and filth. I am. I don't care if it's a fellow that does it's white or black or chartreuse. I'm against it. They're your kids. If you want them to go to the devil, it's up to you. But when they do go to the devil, by the way, a lot of you, they're a lot closer than you realize. There's some kids in Hammond Baptist High School that walk just that far close to the line of getting kicked out every day. And they're from some of the finest homes in this church, finest people, leaders in this church. And moms and dads, you better get those kids. If you don't get them, you're going to cry. You're going to be a broken-hearted old man and old woman if you don't get them. Now, I mean it. I'll tell you what you do. Whenever you sit there and your head's in your hands and the tears running down your cheeks and you wonder if life is worthwhile, you look back over the years and you remember when you went to the doctor the first time. The doctor examined you and said, that's the trouble. And you remember how you carried that little thing in your body. And you remember the time when they rolled you in the hospital. They put you up on top of a table or couch, and you look like Pike's Peak. Then after going to the jaws of death, they rolled you back and they brought something and placed it in your arm. And you looked at it, and a part of you leaped out. And all the dreams you had, and the hopes you had. And most of you have done this since I've been your pastor. And all the things you taught, the first step the first word. You sit there with your head in your hands and you go back over the years. It's one thing that nobody in this house can say. You'll never say truthfully, "Brother House didn't try to help me." You'll never say that truthfully. I've made folks mad who won't speak to me on the streets for your kids. I've had folks walk out of this door, these doors and never walk back in because they wouldn't take my preaching about your kids. I've cried enough tears to fill a bathtub, several of them, over your kids. I've tried to help you, but I can't go home with you and turn the television set off. I can't go home with you and spank them. I can't go home with you and kick Flip Wilson.